again. Praise the Lord, church. Please be seated. We come to that special portion of the evening that honors the accomplishments of our graduates. And I don't know, some of you may not remember this, but we did have a gentleman here a few years back. His name was Fred. And Fred was 63 years old at the time. And Fred said in 63 years that completing this program was the first thing he had ever done in his life. It's probably one of the best things that he ever done in his life. And I don't know how Fred is doing. I haven't seen him since that time, but I know that he was supplied with the information and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what needed to be done in his life. For those of you that are new to this, CIP is the Christian Intervention Program. We have been blessed with this program since October of 2001. And in that time, we have had a lot of people that have come through this church that have been blessed by the preaching and the hearing of the word, by the lessons that are taught, and have graduated and moved on. A lot of them you don't see. A lot of them I have run across in the things that I do out in the community. And everyone, to a fault, always says they love this church. They love what they have learned. They love what they felt while they were here. Unfortunately, some people get stuck on stupid. And, you know, they need to go back and try to make something that didn't work in the first place work again. And some are lost. Some are going to churches. Some are doing well. It was an interesting story that was brought to me the other day. A gentleman was up in the state office building, One West Wilson. And this young man came out of the elevator, and Sherry Garrett Hamlin, I don't know if you all remember, but he was the one person that allowed us to go into the jails to start the CIP program. And he's been here, actually, as to participate in one of our services. And this young man came out, Sheriff Hamlin, Sheriff Hamlin. And, you know, and Sheriff Hamlin now is the secretary over corrections. And he said, yes, I'm not Sheriff Hamlin anymore. He said, I just wanted to thank you. And he said, why? He said, many years ago, you allowed me to leave out of the jail system to go to that church and get involved in that program that changed my life. And, you know, it's stuff like that. It's stuff like that. You know, when we go back to that time, we talk about Miracle Madison. I don't know, those of you that were around, that's what we were calling the CIP program here, because things happened in this church that had never happened for the CIP program anywhere else across the United States or Canada, and they still are happening for us. You know, it's an interesting thing. There's a lot of churches that have been in contact with us, and they want to get involved in the CIP program because they hear about the successes, you know, they're talked about. But you know, it's kind of a sad thing to a certain extent, and it's a good thing. I'm glad that someone wants to do a program that's going to reach out to that one lost sheep, those one lost sheeps. But unfortunately, we have been blessed mightily by a pastor who had a vision, by a ministry that flourished because of God's blessings. And when the people say, I want CIP in our church, you know what they're really saying? I want what you got going at Calvary Gospel Church. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any greater compliment that can be paid than to say, I want what you got. Because what we have here is worth something. And that's not only because of Brother Grant, it's not only because of CIP, but that's also because of you. Your prayers, your faithfulness to this ministry, you know, financially, prayerfully, the fact that you have reached out to people and shown brotherly love and accepted them, where the people out in the world were cold and callous and had nothing whatsoever for them, but pain and suffering, you know, you have shown Christian love. And I personally want to thank each and every one of you for that, for showing the love of God. Let me applaud you. Thank you. Tonight after the graduation, we have a celebration of cake reception for the graduates. Yes, I love cake too. I'm with you, yes. So please, after the service is over, come and join us in the fellowship hall. You all are welcome. At this time, I would like to turn the service over to Brother Grant.
Thank you so very much, Brother Hawk. And again, praise the Lord to all of you who are here in the house of the Lord. I want to just take a moment of time to thank all of you who worked at our Touch Twice clinic yesterday. Thank you so very much. And to Pastor Roy, stand up if you would. And Sister Scotia Leonardson, would you stand up? Scotia coordinated the event, and thank you so very much, all of you. Praise God. I was just thrilled to walk through the building and have so many people to greet me and thank me for what's taking place here at our church, or what took place. And I got to tell you, my heart was just overflowing with gratitude. I saw so many of our people just being so helpful and so concerned and so accommodating. And thank you again so very, very much. Now, concerning CIP, I want to thank Brother and Sister Hawk. I'd like for Brother and Sister Hawk to stand. Brother Hawk, Sister Hawk. Yes. Yes. Thank you so very, very much, yes. Yes. Praise God. And then all of our CIP workers and teachers and bus drivers, and would you please stand, all of you? All right, okay. All over the building, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Praise God. Praise God. I've spoken at a good number of the CIP graduations. It's always such an honor to be able to do this. I do feel that if you come into the CIP program, you've got to understand that no one particular thing that you ever do in life will make you successful, but success is predicated upon continual occurrences. Usually a person has to hear something over and over and over and over and over to change his or her behavior just a little bit. And so what you have been taught, it's going to be necessary that you practice this, and you practice it to the point that it just becomes a habit. I've been teaching on godly habits, the power of godly habits. This morning we talked about honor and loyalty. Tonight I want to talk about responsible and faithful. Now, I do not have much time, and I don't have a lot of scriptures. Normally when I teach, I have a lot of scriptures, and take the liberty to sometimes be a little bit, too long, as some of the people say. And I've heard people say for years that I spend too much time sometimes in the pulpit, and so far you haven't been able to change me, so I guess I need just to keep hearing it some more. You know, this business of being responsible, and by that we mean, you know, legally or morally obligated to carry out a duty. Our American culture at this present time, we're dealing with some things that you probably heard about, the budget repair bill. And one thing that was left out, and that is, they call it attention to women's health, but actually it's dealing with abortion. And, certainly I oppose the government funding abortions. I have to oppose it because I think abortions are wrong. And then we have this problem with worldwide AIDS. And so we're trying to find a cure for AIDS. And really, it's so simple. Just stop jumping in and out of the sack when everybody comes along. And that's it. It stops it. Now, isn't that simple? And you think about the millions and millions and millions of dollars and hours and hours and hours of research that scientists have made, doctors have made, what we're saying is we want to continue our lifestyle, but we want the public to fix it for us so that there are no consequences. But with every relationship, there is a long trail of responsibilities. And we must not forget that. So I would like to call your attention to the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 12. I love this Bible. The Bible is the manual for life. And it contains the answers. So verse 42, if you'd be so kind to just stand for the reading of the word. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant?" Faithful and wise. And tonight we're talking about responsible and faithful. Who is that faithful and wise steward? Brother Hawk kind of addressed this in a blunt way when he said, some people just can't get over stupid. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of meat in due season. If you are of any age at all, adult age, you have a responsibility, that is to make sure that your household is in order. That's your responsibility. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. He's talking about when the Lord comes back. You want to make sure that you're still, want to make sure that you're still doing what you were commissioned to do. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and shall cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with unbelievers. And that servant which knew the Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So the real answer to the parable, what the parable is talking about, is found in this summary. If you know what to do and you don't do it, and the amazing thing is that he was probably spending more time beating up on everybody else than he would if he would just discipline himself and devote his time to taking care of what he's responsible for. But if you know what to do and you do not do it, then the Bible says that you will be counted and appointed a portion with unbelievers. And verse 48, and this is the key verse, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. And then we go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and we want to read verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God bless you. You may be seated. So tonight we're talking about responsible and faithful. And we have defined responsible, and that is legally or morally obligated to carry out a duty or a task. The opposite of that is irresponsible. So you become irresponsible if you know what to do and you just don't do it. And when we talk about faithful, we're talking about loyal or trustworthy, true to the facts. The opposite is unfaithful. That's failing to act in a responsible way. Now, I want to give you some symptoms of being irresponsible. And I'm just taking these from this parable. One of the first symptoms of being irresponsible is constant frustration, especially with oneself. If you are not a responsible person, there is a turmoil that's taking place inside of you almost daily because you know what you need to do and you're not doing it. So that's this constant turmoil, this nagging conscience that you have. As the comics put it, this little angel that sits on your shoulder and tells you, you know, you should be doing something different from what you're doing. So constantly being frustrated. And this frustration is usually taken out by just showing extreme disappointment in life and basically being unhappy with things and people, and comes out in your attitude that every time you turn around and somebody does something you don't like, they're stupid or they're dumb or whatever. I spent a good bit of time with a gentleman that I have known for years and years and years. And the thing that I've tried to help him with, and I don't know that I've been successful, and that's going all the way back to my days in Texas, is that every time somebody does something, he's frustrated about it, just always frustrated about it. And I know that this man could do a great work for God, but he's surrounded himself with so much stuff. You know, just always, he just can't do a work for God because he's got all this stuff that he's always fooling with. So every time I'm with him, which is not very often, but it comes out always. You know, oh, he's just dumb. You know, he's not a happy camper. Now, Brother Hawk, I think you hit it on the head when you said some people can't get away from stupid. Why would you want to walk through life and be miserable? Now, this may come as a shock to you, but you know, we talk about Jesus gives us peace. And we talk, but did you know that also there's a common sense element about peace? And that is that much of your peace in life comes as a result of the completion of a task. Just that simple. Somebody gave me responsibility. I saw it through to completion. Now, when Jesus said, "I give you peace," would you believe that See, peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is the character of God. And Paul says in the book of Colossians, the second chapter, he said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, he didn't say, let the God of peace. He took one characteristic from God, and he said, now this characteristic, peace, is responsible for ruling in your heart. And you will find in the scripture that peace and government are inseparable. Let me explain by using the scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his peace and government, there shall be no end. And to be responsible as an individual simply means that you have a self-government inside of you that's going to keep you from being frustrated all the time. That God's going to be there. Now, if you fail to fulfill the will of God, that is God's plan for your life, guess what? You're going to be frustrated because you cannot be, if you're responsible to and for the wrong things, then you are irresponsible because you're doing the wrong things. So don't just think just because you complete things, you can be completing wrong things. But the first symptom is just frustration. The second symptom of being irresponsible is shifting the blame for your poor performance to someone else. Somebody else caused it. Little kids are that way, aren't they? It's always somebody else's fault. Some of you are whispering back and forth. You can recall situations in your own life, either which someone shifted responsibility to you or you shifted responsibility to somebody else. Now, I'm a firm believer that when we're asking people to do things, I like to get volunteers right then. You know, if we say we need cleanup guys, cleanup gals for Touch Twice, I like to say, who's going to stand and do it? Because I like to get you committed. Because the old saying is that everybody's responsibility becomes nobody's responsibility. So very rarely ever will I make an announcement about we need somebody to go over and set up without saying who's going to do it. But you know, inside of you, you know when you're responsible for things. If I walk through the church and I see paper laying around on the floor, I pick it up. One thing I despise, though, the Kleenex. And somebody snots all over it and leaves it on the floor. I say, I don't like to pick it up. I call, that's not a Kleenex, it's a Dirty X then. Say, and I don't like to clean. Why wouldn't a person pick up their own dirty X's? You know? Part of this, that's just the way I was brought up. That you take care of your responsibilities. So you shift the blame to somebody else. Like, well, I was going to do this, but I was waiting on somebody else. In other words, it's his fault, and usually then you end up telling a lie to cover up your own lack of productivity. Makes you feel good because somebody else is at fault, not you. And then the third symptom of being irresponsible, and I've got a whole list which I will not go through, but I'm going to cover some of the major ones here. Seeking to penalize others for your own failure. Like now there's no public funding for abortion. So I'm going to get mad at the American people because they won't take care of. Didn't you know when you were having sex? Weren't you old enough to know how children get here? But don't you know all this? Now, somebody else's fault. I need to have an abortion because, I tell you what, you know, we have a little one in our house, first time we've had a little one in our house in years, and we're going to have another little one. And little Ava is just the delight of my life, I got to tell you. This afternoon I was in the bedroom, have a chair in there, and I turn off the lights and I pray, and all of a sudden, and I don't like to be anyone to bother me when I'm praying, but it's okay for Ava. And I heard this little knock on the door, just a little faint knock. And then I heard her say, "Papa." I said, "Come on in, sweetheart." She walks in there and she's got a little, just a little cup, and she's got something she's eating. I couldn't see. It was dark in the room. And she's wanting to share it with me. She holds it out and says, "Papa, here, here." Every morning when she gets up, she brings her shoes to me, and she hops up on the footstool, the hassock there, and all she does, she says, "Help, help." And she gives me the shoes. She points to her feet and says, "Cold, cold." Now, can you believe that some irresponsible soul would feel that it's okay to abort something so precious? A person made in the image and the likeness of God. You think about it, if that element was snatched out of my life and my wife's life and Marvin and Lana's life and Roy and Lois's life, you think about what a hole it would leave. And yet, over 55 million babies have been aborted since Roe versus Wade. Now, Roe versus Wade's not two ways across the river. That was a Supreme Court decision, okay? But, oh my. Sister Grant came up and said, "What have you and Brother Thomas been eating?" And and then this whole thing about AIDS. I can't believe that we are, as a worldwide, as a human race, that we're so dumb. Got to find a cure. All you got to do is stop sleeping around. But what's happening here, we want to penalize others for our own failure. We want to blame others. We want to say, "Hey, it's your fault. It's your fault. You should have. You could have, but you did not do this." Now, if there were no Bible, or at least no Bible that you knew about, when Jesus talks of this principle of being responsible, this is a principle that society is built upon, and it makes no difference whether you're Christian or not. If you don't practice it, you've got problems. I'll give you an example. I talked about Ava. The thing about Ava is that she's old enough now that she can walk, she talks some, and she pulls tons of stuff out of the cabinet and out of closets. It's just all over the house. Now, this is what we found. As much as she likes to pull this stuff down, we have been teaching her to pick it up. And it's just as much fun for her to pick it up and put it back as it is to pull it down. So, Ava, you turn the light on. Now, turn the light off when you leave the room. Now, you open the door, close the door when you leave the room. So that when you walk through life, that everything is in as good a shape or better shape when you walk through than what you found it. The Good Sam's Club, which is an RV club where people pull trailers, camping trailers and motorhomes and such. They go in and rent a facility, and one thing that they promise to the proprietor is that when we leave, this campground will be in better shape than it was when we came. We promise you that. Leave no trash, no garbage, no footprints of where we were, no ruts that we made. Everything is in better shape than it was. And you see, the principle of life is this, that when you get old enough to take liberty to do something, you step over here and you take this liberty, you got to understand that on the other side, there's also responsibilities that you have. And if you take the liberty and you don't bear the responsibility, to all you graduates, listen to me carefully. You know what's going to happen? Back to Huber. Back to the county jail. And our penitentiaries are full of people that have had all of their liberties taken away from them simply because they cannot and would not bear responsibilities. Now then, when you go to the penitentiary, guess what happens? You don't have any liberty. You go to bed when they tell you to go to bed, and you get up when they tell you to get up, and you eat when they tell you to eat, and you go to work when they tell you to go to work. You may not have a lot of responsibility there, but you don't have any liberties either because they've been taken away from you. So then you go from being a toddler to a teenager. All of a sudden you want to drive, get my driver's license. Okay. Now, if you're going to take liberty to get in the car and go down the road, you need to learn to bear some responsibilities. Number one, if I'm driving mom and dad's car, I drive it exactly the way mom and dad drives it because that's the way they want it taken care of. I think I should be looking over here, you know. I mean, isn't that right? All you have to do is run a stop sign and plow into someone and let them give you a ticket and they take your license away. And you visit the hospital and see somebody in intensive care that you purposely put there, you'll understand what I'm saying. That someone is dying as a result of me being irresponsible. Later on, you want to marry. Along comes someone and I'm going to date this person. Raised in the church. A virgin girl. You need to respect her just like, well, she belongs to God, you know. We say, well, everybody's doing it, so that's what the problem with the world is. Don't you understand what I'm saying? I said, that's what the problem of the world is. Then you get married and you father a child and you say, oh my, this is too. Do you know how many guys just up and leave because they don't want to be responsible? You think about it. What is wrong with our world? Jesus said, to whomsoever much is given, he's talking about liberty. I left you in charge of this vineyard. I didn't look over your shoulder. You had plenty of time to do this, but you didn't do it. You messed around. Then when you heard I was coming and saw that you had not done what you're supposed to do, you blamed other people. You began to beat the servants. Somebody else's fault that this place is not in order. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? I don't think we need to go any further than this with our symptoms, but let me tell you something. One of the great delights of life is to look back and say, I paid my way. Now, Sister Grant and I are asked to go out and eat a lot by people. And truthfully, we could probably just go on a free ride with most people. But let me tell you something. I like to think I'm paying my way through life. I was taught that. It's my responsibility. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to shift the blame to somebody else. There's certain things as a pastor I have to do. I have to talk to people about certain things. When I know it's my responsibility, I'm going to do it. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. Don't like to get emails. I don't like to, when I say emails, I'm talking about problems. I don't like to email people. I don't like to write letters. Sometimes I do because I feel that's the best way. But I like to look them right in the eye and say, look, it's basically my responsibility to oversee this, and I need to talk with you about it now. It's just the way I was raised. Now, when you get to be 70 years old like me, you might be way over here taking liberties. But you got to remember, well, there's sure a lot of responsibilities. Now I not only have a wife and I have children and grandchildren, but I have great-grandchildren. The church now is not 100, it's 200, 300, 400, 500, and got a lot of responsibilities, you know. And to you graduates, I'm not just giving you something that you're going to say, oh, yeah, I agree with him. You have to learn to practice this. But every day of your life when you wake up, don't put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. Get up and do it. Be faithful to God. Pray. Seek God. Don't miss a day. Would you believe that every day that you miss praying, the devil just slides in like a runner sliding into second base, right into your life? And he knows that you're not spiritual this day. He knows you haven't gotten a hold of God, and there he is. And he knows that you're down. He knows that you're weak. Oh, my. Just keep on giving to God. Keep saying no to everything that's wrong. Keep on keeping on. And if you'll do this, the things that you have learned and the things that you have felt and the experience you've gained with God as a result of being here at Calvary Gospel Church, let me tell you, it'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. God bless you. Brother Hawk, we want you to come back.
That was a powerful message. Yeah. Very true, too. We had a number of graduates. Some of them are here, some aren't. I'm going to go through and acknowledge all of the graduates for this current cycle. But there is one thing that I would like to leave with the graduates. Actually, it's a question and an admonition. That empty side of me is starting to come out, and I think I figured out where it came from. It came from Brother Grant. But I will take responsibility, Brother Thomas, too, yeah. But I will take responsibility for this one myself. I would ask the graduates one question. Do any of you receive a check from Disney, Walt Disney? No? No. Then the admonishment is, stop acting goofy. Okay. Brother Grant, would you come up, please? Brother Pastor Roy, would you come on up? Yes. We would like to introduce to you Calvary Gospel Church, your graduates for tonight, Sharon Cortez. I forgot I should have said that. As the graduates come up, please line up across the front. And also for those of you who don't know, a lot of our participants in the program, they do come out of Huber, and also a lot volunteer to come in and be a part of this program from different churches, different walks of life. So it's not just one group of people. It's a mixed group of people. Robert Cortez. Sean Hendrickson. One of those graduates that could not be with us but did complete the program, his name was Robert Williams. Ryan Nickel. Anthony Gillum. Latara Freeman. And last but not least, Dolly Crow. We would like to take this opportunity now to give the graduates an opportunity to speak to the body.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, church, for all your applause. Praise God.
Praise God.
I'd like to thank Brother and Sister Hawk for all their time and for the class and that, for Dolly Crowe getting me involved with the class along with Mike Evans, to Audrey Hawk for letting me stay and graduate because I didn't have a whole lot of money and I had to work a lot of Sundays, so I couldn't make it to church, and she still let me go to class. I appreciate that. Make up my lessons in that. I'd like to thank all the friends and brothers and sisters that I gained here at this church, Calvary Gospel. And I'm going to take this knowledge and use it to help me overcome a lot of things that I had trouble in my life. And I'm convinced that it was because of Jesus Christ, the Holy Father. And I praise God every day for what I have today and all my blessings. Amen.
I'd like to thank Brother and Sister Hawk for giving me the opportunity to be in this class. Also, all of the teachers for spending your time with us, sharing your life experiences, and teaching us everything that you've taught us. I believe that everyone can get something out of the class. You know, it's not just for people who are in Huber or coming from different churches. It makes you think a lot about yourself and your growth in the church. So, thank you.
I want to thank the Lord for giving me another chance and an opportunity to have the tools to succeed. And thanks for all the teachers and the different teaching techniques. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to thank the people for this program, especially Brother James and Pastor Grant, and also thank our pastor for allowing us to come here and be with you guys and learn something and go back with something. And the main thing that I really enjoy is that Christ is in our hearts. And anytime we have any problems, we don't have to go here and we don't have to go there, but just exactly where we're at, just lift those hands and let him have it.
Yeah.
God bless you.
I guess I want to thank all the teachers for everything that they've taught me. This is the third time that I took this class, but I graduated this time. Yippee! I don't really know what to say. I feel crazy because I don't wear skirts. I almost feel like I'm in my boxer shorts, you know, so to speak. But I came here 2 years ago with my little girl. And I don't know, when I first came to this church, I didn't know what to think because I got here an hour before the church service started and the choir was going. It was Easter Sunday and, you know, it was cool, but it wasn't cool because I was in a custody battle for my girl. And I saw somebody here that I knew for many, many years, and I wish they were here right now that they could see. But all the people in this church that know me really helped me, and I really appreciate all the help that I got from everybody here. And it was just kind of crazy that 2 years ago I came here and I tell you, I thought you guys were crazy, for real. And I was raised in church. And I walked out of here and I said, well, maybe something ain't right, you know? Because it was Easter Sunday and there were people and they were chanting and little kid was laying on the floor and the lights went out. And I was just like, oh my goodness, what is really going on, you know? So I left out of here, and I went looking for a different church because I was like, oh, I think I can get to this church and start on 10 o'clock. I promised my little girl I was taking her to church on Easter Sunday. Well, I couldn't find that church, so I ended up back over here. And I was like, man, these people come on with some Kool-Aid, I'm out of here, right? That was Communion Sunday. But I figured I'd come to church again. So I come to church the next time I came, and I don't mean anything, Pastor Grant, but They was talking about give your way to heaven. Just dig in your pocket and get everything you got, you know? And I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I was waiting for an air-conditioned dog house or whatever. You know, Tammy Faye or somebody come walking across there. And the thing that changed my mind about this church was a flat tire. Remember that flat tire? I got in a van with a friend of mine, and we got a flat tire. And she said, Dolly, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're going to have to get the jack and change the tire. We got to call the church. I said, for real, what are them people going to do? For real, you know? So she called the pastor down there. He come down there in his Sunday suit. And I was like, yeah, okay, this I got to see. The man dug behind his car thing and got his gloves and whatever. And I thought, oh, I wonder if he's going to get his coveralls too, you know, just being smart. And the crazy thing about it was he jumped underneath that van and was laying on the ground in his Sunday clothes. And I thought, I wonder, could that pastor really be that bad? Because your kids reflect you. You know what I mean? And I saw that man laying on the ground, and I thought, his dad must have taught him something. He couldn't really be all that bad. And I kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. But it was the tire. Hallelujah. It was the tire. And thank you.
Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, I want to pray for these graduates. Now our choir will come back, and we will have a fellowship, time of fellowship with them over in the fellowship hall. So immediately after service, go over there. We will give all of you a chance or the opportunity to come and pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost or have your needs met. Or pray for you if you're sick in body. But I want to pray for our graduates at this time. Join in with me. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this good group of graduates. And I pray, God, that you'd be with them, Lord. I'm believing, God, that there's going to be a special hand that's going to guide them, that you're going to be with them, Lord Jesus. They put forth this effort to go through this CIP curriculum because they know that they need this. And I pray, God, do be with them, Lord. Every day of their life, give them a directive, Lord. When they call upon you, Lord Jesus, be quick, Lord Jesus, to answer them. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what they have added to our fellowship. For it's not just us that makes them, but it's all of us making each other. And you standing among us, Lord Jesus, to grant to all of us the grace that we need in time of need. And we all need you, God. Keep your hand upon these precious graduates. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I want to give you a chance to come and seek the Lord. This opportunity is granted to you in every service that we have. We just don't close out services without giving you the opportunity to come and seek the Lord. First, if you're sick in body, we anoint with oil, just like the scripture tells us. Come and stand over here on your left. Our ministers who anoint with oil, come on down. Be ready to anoint these people. So step out. Come on down. You're sick in body. You've been suffering from some affliction for some time. Come on down.